Hosea chapter number 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 tonight. The Bible says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. This isn't going to be necessarily our message tonight, but here in verse number 1, what he is speaking of, and we'll read a little bit, we'll see a little bit more of the context as we read on. But he is speaking of how Israel and the way they live and the fact that they have set their hope in nations like Assyria and nations like Egypt, instead of setting their hope in God, it's like they're chasing the wind. Can't catch the wind. I know people, scientists trap the wind, but the idea here is, they're chasing something that is vain, that is of no use to them. And he says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And notice here, and this is what I was speaking of, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. And the idea there is they take oil into Egypt as a bribe to get the Egyptians to help them. And in turn, what the Egyptians do is just turn on them. They don't help them. They're still their enemy. Verse 2, the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah. Remember in chapter 4, God said he had a controversy with Israel, with Ephraim. Well, now he's speaking about the southern kingdom as well. He says, also hath a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. And I want you to notice verse number 5. This is where we're going to take our title tonight, and this is primarily going to be our text tonight. Says, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. And that's the title of our message tonight, very simply, right there in verse number 5. The Lord is his memorial. The his, speaking of Jacob, speaking of Judah, speaking of all of the nation of Israel, he said, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Then I want you to notice verse number 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. And so I want us to look at that thought tonight in verse number 5. The Lord is his memorial. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we're grateful to be able to be in your house tonight. And Father, we know this is just a building. We know that the church is the people that come and worship in this place. But Father, we're thankful for this building where we can corporately come together and worship as a body. And Father, I thank you for bringing us here tonight. Father, I pray that you would teach us and help us. Father, I pray for the same for our children next door. I pray that you'd use Miss Beverly. Father, I pray that you'd use her to teach them your word tonight. And Father, I do pray for their salvation. I pray for Hadley tonight, as Kirsten asked. I pray that you'd work in her heart, help her to see her need to be saved. Father, I pray for others in that class, other children that need to be saved as well. Father, I pray that your word would be placed in their hearts tonight. And Father, I pray for us in here, Lord. I pray that you would make us better for being in this place tonight, and not just for being here, but for hearing what you have for us tonight from your word. Father, be with those that are away from us tonight for whatever reason. It might be work, it might be travel, some may be sick tonight. Father, I don't know. I just pray that you would help in a special way and work in our hearts in these next few moments, and we'll thank and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All of us tonight, and we've spoke about this many, many times, but all of us tonight have memorials in our lives, don't we? Birthdays are memorials. Anniversaries are memorials. Holidays may be memorials. smells may be memorials. You ever thought about that? You ever had a smell come across your nose and it made you think of something from the past? Smells are memorials. And by the way, whether good or bad. Sounds may be memorials. Keepsakes, gifts, and souvenirs are memorials. Because a memorial is simply a person, place, or thing which reminds us and helps us to remember a person or event. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. This do in what? Remembrance. That's what it says on the communion table. This do, at least I think it does, it should. This do in remembrance of me. Our Heritage and Hero Service is a memorial. Our celebration of Easter, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc. are all memorials. The Star Spangled Banner is a memorial. At Calvary is a memorial. And many of our songs and hymns are memorials. We spoke recently, just within the past couple of weeks, about the songs of Moses. In Exodus chapter number 15, we find a song of redemption. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we find Moses' song of remembrance. He says, remember, in verse number 7 of Deuteronomy 32. Why is the teaching of memorials and remembrances so prevalent in the Scriptures? Because we're flesh, and as we've said many, many times, we are prone to forget. Why did God have the nation of Israel, when they came through the Jordan River, they took those rocks out of the Jordan River, and when they came over to Gilgal, they made that altar there. Why did they do that? It was for remembrance. It was for a memorial. The Bible says there in the book of Judges, it says that when their children would see those stones, they would ask their dad, Dad, why are these stones here? And the father could tell them why the stones were there. It was for a memorial for what God had done for the nation of Israel. And we have seen this truth in the nation of Israel as we have journeyed through the book of Hosea. They were without a doubt prone to forget and to wander. But the Lord declares to them in Hosea chapter 12 and verse number 5 that He is their memorial. He is that which should cause them to remember to do that which is right. And by the way, tonight, and don't miss the application tonight, He's not just a memorial for the nation of Israel, He's a memorial for us tonight. When the devil comes along and tries to get us to do something we ought not do, or watch something we ought not watch, or say something we ought not say, or listen to something we ought not listen to, or just simply to do something we ought not do, God says, look, if you will remember me, it'll help you. If you'll remember what I have done for you, if you'll remember that God is always watching, it'll help you. If you'll remember, you have a Father in heaven, not only who's watching, but who loves you. And who doesn't desire for you to engage in those things. By the way, to help us to remember, as we saw Sunday morning, that the sins that we engage ourselves in, they anguish and they bring sorrow to the heart of God. And if we'll remember God, He's our memorial. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. I want to give you 2 points tonight, 2 truth points, and then we'll develop those a little bit tonight as we think about this matter of memorials tonight. So first of all, tonight, if you're taking notes, or even if you're just taking mental notes tonight, I want us to see this. First of all, a memorial prompts us to remember. That's what a memorial does. A memorial prompts us to remember. What does it prompt us to remember about God as we're thinking about verse number 5, where it says, even the Lord God of hosts, as he speaks about Jacob in verses 3 and 4, he's trying to get them to remember what he has done for them. He doesn't mention a whole lot. He just mentions Jacob. And in verse number 4, he talks about how Jacob had power with the angel when he wrestled with God there at Penuel. And he talks about how he wept and how he prayed before he came back and met Esau. He says he made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, the house of God. And there he spake with, notice that, us, the triune God. He said, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. A memorial prompts us to remember. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go back, because in Exodus chapter 3, I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 3. I thought this was so interesting. Brother Robertson mentioned Exodus chapter 3 Sunday night when he was preaching. But in Exodus chapter number 3 is where we find the phrase, and really it gives us the explanation of what he's speaking about in Hosea chapter 12, verse number 5. Because in Exodus chapter number 3, we have that phrase that the Lord is their memorial. Look at Exodus chapter number 3 tonight. A memorial prompts us to remember. Notice verse number 15 of Exodus chapter number 3. And if you remember the context, the first part of chapter 3, God has met Moses there in the burning bush, and he's calling him to go back to Egypt and to deliver his people from the Egyptians. And of course, we know that Moses said, look, I can't do it. A little bit later in the chapter, and even in chapter number 4, he says, I can't. In verses 11 and 12, and we'll read those in just a moment. He said, look, when they ask me who sent me, who should I say sent them? But notice what it says, or sent me. Notice what it says in verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Here they have the name Jehovah. They have the I am that I am, and we'll see that in just a moment. But here they have the name Jehovah, the name that they will forever know their God as. From henceforth and forevermore, they're going to know Him as Jehovah. Notice what it says. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. What did he say in Hosea 12:5? He said, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, is his memorial. So what does this memorial prompt us to remember? If God is our memorial, if he's our remembrance, what are we prompted to remember? First of all, and I want to give you three words here, if I could. First of all, we are prompted to remember who he is. And that references his deity. It prompts us, when we think about the Lord, we ought to be prompted to remember who He is. That speaks of His deity. That speaks of His names, if you will. We are prompted to remember who He is. Notice here in chapter number 3, back up just a little bit to verse number 12. And He said, actually, let's just read verse number 11 as well. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? You ever thought that about yourself? By the way, that's a good place to be. Who am I? Who am I to serve God? How can God use me? Moses said, who am I? I've been living in the desert for 40 years. I killed a man in Egypt before I left. Who am I? I'm no one that you can use. I thought I was. I thought I was going to be the deliverer of Israel. But who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Notice what God says. And He said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. By the way, they did. Verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto thy children of the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And here we have it in verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. It prompts us to remember who He is. He is self-existence. He is eternal. He is self-sufficient. He is immutable. He is the only wise God. And so when we simply just remember God, or we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to prompt us to remember who He is. Speaking of His deity, He is the I Am. To the blind, He says, I am the true light. To the hungry, He says, I am the bread of life. To the thirsty, He says, I am the living water. To the sick, He says, I am the great physician. To the sheep, He says, I am the great shepherd. And to the weary, He says, I am rest. He is the I Am. And so when we think about God, it ought to prompt us to remember His deity. That He is divine. That we don't just serve any old person. We don't just serve some idol or some image. We serve the God of heaven. The God of all gods. The Almighty God, if you will. So it ought to prompt us to remember who He is. But secondly, a memorial prompts us to remember. You all have memorials in your homes. And you see them, you see pictures, you see keepsakes or whatever it may be, and you automatically, it prompts you to remember maybe a date, maybe a place, maybe a vacation, maybe a special time in your life. When we remember God, it ought to prompt us to remember who He is, but secondly, what He does. Who He is speaks of His deity. What He does speaks of His deeds. And what does He do? Well, the Bible tells us right here in Exodus chapter number 3. What does He do? We read in verse number 12, and He says, Certainly I will be with thee. Moses said, Who am I? How am I going to go to Pharaoh? How am I going to lead your people out of Egypt? Who am I? You know what He tells him right here in verse number 12? What does He do? What are the deeds that He does? First of all, He provides us with His presence. He says, I will be. He says, I will be with thee. He provides us with His presence. Not only that, secondly, He provides us with His power. Not only does He say, I will be, He says, I will do. Look at verse number 16, if you would. He says, Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And notice this in verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will, what's the word there? Do. Which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that, He will let you go. He You say, thinking about God, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it prompts us to remember, first of all, who He is. He is deity. But it also prompts us to remember what He does, His deeds. What does He do? He provides us with His presence. He said, I will be with thee. Not only does He provide us with His presence, but He provides us with His power. He said, I will do. You believe that tonight? You ought to, because the Bible says it. He says, I will do. He said, what I'm getting ready to do in Egypt, He said, I'm sure Pharaoh's not going to let you go. You're going to go and say, hey, Pharaoh, let us go. We're going to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Everybody's going. All the cattle are going. All the children are going. Everything's going. And we're going to worship our God. And He's going to laugh. By the way, in chapter number 5, what does He do? He says, who is the Lord? I don't know your God. By the way, a bad place to be. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this Lord that you're talking about. And God tells Moses, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. He says, not only will He provide us with His presence, He will provide us with His power, but He will also provide us with His provision. That's what the word provide is all about. With His provision. Notice verse 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go, what's the word? Empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. He gives. By the way, if they had obeyed immediately, where were they getting ready to go to? They were getting ready to go to a place that they didn't do anything for. They didn't plant anything. They didn't build anything. They didn't do anything for the land of Canaan or in the land of Canaan. And God was getting ready to give it all to them. He provides. Dear friend, tonight, He provides for us, doesn't He? He gives us provision. You say, well, Pastor, provision is getting a lot more expensive every single day. I get it. But He provides, doesn't He? He gives us the health to make wealth and to take that wealth and to live. He provides. It ought to prompt us to remember who He is. He is deity. He is the Almighty God. He is divine. He is above all. It ought to prompt us to remember what He does. That's His deeds. What He does. That's just His nature. It's His nature to be good to us. It is. It's His nature to be good to us. It's His nature to bless. It's His nature. Again, we mentioned it Sunday. But it's His nature to daily load us with benefits. It's His nature to give us new mercies every morning. Fresh. Not stale. Not day old. Not 2 day old bread at the bread store that you get for 33 cents. Or used to. You don't get it for 33 cents anymore. But no. Fresh. Right from the bakery. You still smell it hot. Fresh mercies every day. That's who He is. That's what He does. He provides us with His presence, His power, His provision. Then finally, He provides us with His promises. Notice verse 12 again. And He says, certainly, I will be with thee. Then He says, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. You see, He says in His presence, He said, I will be. In His power, He says, I will do. In His provision, He says, I will give. And then His promises, He says, I have. I have. I've already been there. I've already done it. I'm going to do it. I'll be there with you. This is going to be a token. I have sent you. I'm going to show you. Here, I'm going to give you a token. I'm going to give you a sheath, if you will. Prove to you that I have sent you. He said, this is going to be the token. He says, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And that's exactly what they did. Don't you think when they came out of Egypt and they ended up on that mountain once again, maybe he had a shout fest all by himself. But here's Moses, and God revealed to him, you see, this is what I promised you. This is Gideon's fleece. This is what I told you was going to. This is the token that proves to you that I sent you. Promises. Not a prompt us to remember who He is, what He does. And then thirdly, it ought to prompt us to remember where He lives. This is His dominion. The Bible says in Hosea chapter number 12, verse number 5 once again, it says, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord God of hosts. The Bible says that heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. It's all His dominion. He is king over all. It ought to prompt us to remember where He lives. He lives in heaven. Now, there's nothing that can contain Him. He doesn't live in a building. But the point is that He is king over all. He is the Lord God of hosts. The Bible says, and let me turn there. You don't have to turn there. But in Isaiah chapter number 57 and verse number 15, the Bible says, for thus saith a high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity. Any of us eternal? Mm-mm. Now, I'm going to live forever, but I haven't always lived forever, but God has. One of these days, I'm going to live forever for the rest of my life, but you see, I had a beginning. God didn't. He's eternal. He says, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. A memorial prompts us to remember who he is, his deity. It prompts us to remember what he does. Those are his deeds. It prompts us to remember where he lives. That speaks of his dominion. He is our king. He's our father, yes. But he's our king. By the way, let not your heart be troubled with everything going on in our world today. We still have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. He controls all, rules all, knows all. His name is Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You get angry at some of the things going on in our nation? Sure you do. All of us do. We should. Righteous anger. But let not your heart be troubled. He's still God. Let not your heart be troubled when you see our country losing its power right in front of our face. Let not your heart be troubled. Because we serve the one who is all powerful. A memorial prompts us to remember who He is, what He does, where He lives. Let me give you secondly. Not only does a memorial prompt us to remember, but secondly, it provokes us to respond. Not only does it prompt us to remember, it ought to provoke us to respond. Hold your place here in Exodus and go back to Hosea 12 real quickly. We're almost done. Hosea chapter number 12. Y'all have a hard day today? Y'all look tired. I'm just telling you, y'all look tired. Y'all had a hard day today, didn't you? We're going to finish here real quickly. Hosea chapter number 12. The Lord is His memorial. What does a memorial do? It ought to prompt us to remember, but then it ought to provoke us to respond. When we remember, hey, listen, teenagers tonight or anybody tonight, young adults tonight, hey, when the devil is tempting you to do something And boy, you remember, oh man, I shouldn't do that. I serve God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Look at everything He's done for me. He saved my soul. He's given me a good family. He daily loads me with benefits. That ought to make you respond. It ought to make you do something different than what you were getting ready to do. Notice what He says in Hosea 12, verse number 6. Verse 5 says, "Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is His memorial." His remembrance, His names, what He does, His nature. What's the first word in verse 6? Therefore. You know what that talks? That's a response. That's a call to a response. Therefore. Okay, because God is your memorial. Because Jehovah is your memorial. All the way back from your father Abraham, all the way back to Moses in Exodus 3, He said He's going to be a memorial from generation to generation to generation. Because He's your memorial, therefore, turn thou to thy God. Had they done that yet? Had Israel done that yet? Had they turned to their God in Hosea, in the book of Hosea? No. Will they turn to God before Assyrian captivity? No. Now, there will be a day when they will. But He is trying to provoke a response. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. You know what? When I was little, you know what provoked a lot of responses in my life as a little boy? Huh? Okay, my brother, he provoked a lot of responses. But you know what provoked me not to do a lot of bad things that I thought about doing as a little boy? My dad. My dad. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't. I still did some bad things, but because I had a brother who provoked me. But I've told you, a brother who threw me out of the barn loft, threw me down out of the barn loft down into the trough down at the bottom. That would provoke you, wouldn't it? Provoked me. I just ran home and told on him. That's what I did. But my dad, okay, is what I'm getting ready to do, is it worth what I'm going to get afterward? You know what that was? That was a memorial. I'm getting ready to do this. Is that worth it? And many times the answer was no. No, it's not worth it. It's not worth what I'm going to get afterwards. But no pleasure is worth that. And God here, and by the way, God's not even using that memorial at all in this context. He's just trying to get them to remember who He is. That He is their memorial. But He is trying to provoke a response in them. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. What is He trying to provoke here? Three things, or actually two, and then we're going to go back to Exodus 3 or Exodus 4 and see the third one. He is trying to provoke them to respond, first of all, with worship. He said, look, stop worshiping the false gods and turn back to God. Turn back to Me with worship. By the way, that's what happened in Exodus 3 and 4 as well. He is trying to provoke them to respond with worship. Worshiping Him, turning back to Him. He is trying to provoke them to respond by waiting. Verse number 6. And wait on, He said, keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. And by the way, that word wait there is not to sit down and, okay, I'm waiting on God. Look, God had already talked to them. Right? They didn't need to wait. He'd already spoken. No, the idea there is the idea of service, of a waiter, of serving. He says, don't serve Balaam anymore. Don't serve Ashtaroth anymore. Serve God. Wait on thy God continually. Carries the idea of service and obedience. He speaks of keeping mercy and judgment. And we're not going to read verses 7 through 14. But the nation of Israel had become a deceitful nation, even in their dealings, in their daily lives, in their merchandise. They were thieves. And he said, you need to practice mercy and judgment. You're being deceitful. You're being a false balance. You need to show mercy and judgment. So he prompts them, or excuse me, he provokes them to respond with worship and by waiting. And then thirdly, I want to show you the, go back to Exodus 4 if you would. When Moses saw who God was, God had promised him what he was going to do. Now, yes, Moses, he pushed back and he said, look, who am I? He said, I don't have a good tongue. I can't speak. And over and over again, and even to the point in Exodus 4 that God is a little bit angry. Moses, I've called you. Moses, just go. And he gets a little angry in Exodus chapter 4. But I want you to see what Moses finally did when he was provoked to a response. You see, a memorial prompts us to remember and it provokes us to respond. Look at verse 29. And Moses and Aaron, what's the word? Went. One word. Went. In Exodus 3:15, he says, I want you to tell them that I am and I am, that I am. Verse 14. Verse 15, he says, I want you to tell them that I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I want you to tell them that's the person who has sent you to them. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations, that I am the God of your fathers, and that I am that I am. I'm Jehovah. And what was Moses' final response? He went. You see, a memorial provokes us to respond with worship, by waiting, by serving, by being obedient, and then finally just by wenting, or simply they went. They went. God provoked them to a response. What was their response? They went. They went. When we think about God, and here's the truth, and I'm done. Here's the truth. That's why we have to constantly be thinking about God. That's why we preached a couple weeks ago the songs of Moses, the song of remembrance, so that we can remember God. Because when we remember God, when we think about all these memorials in our lives, and some of you think about when you got saved, some of you think about decisions that you've made in your life, and you think about these spiritual memorials in your lives, it ought to prompt you to remember who He is. He is deity. It ought to prompt us to remember what He does. Those are the deeds He does. It ought to prompt us to remember where He lives. That speaks of His dominion. He's God of all. Why is it, and I ask myself, why is it that I try to fight against a God who is all-powerful? And we do sometimes, don't we? I do sometimes. God, I don't think You want me to do that. And we try to, we push back against God. Why would we push back against the ruler of the universe? He owns it all. By the way, He's our Father. And a memorial provokes us to respond. Hey guys, you look at that calendar every year, and that day is getting closer and closer. It provokes you to respond, doesn't it? Maybe not some of you, and if you don't respond, you're in trouble. It provokes you to respond, to go to the store and get a card and get some flowers, plan some a night out eating, dining. Man, y'all guys are pitiful because y'all look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. It prompts you to respond, doesn't it? Or excuse me, it provokes you to respond, doesn't it? That's a memorial. That's what God ought to do to us. That's what our salvation through the shed blood of Christ ought to do to us. Hey, kids tomorrow, teenagers tomorrow, the devil comes along and wants to tempt you to do something you ought not do. Think about your God. And let it provoke you to a different response. Let it, first of all, prompt you to remember who He is. Let it prompt you to remember that He died on the cross for you. And then let it provoke you to respond in a different way. Because that's what God wanted the nation of Israel to do. He said, therefore, turn. Hey, do you remember who I am? Do you remember that I'm the God of your father? Okay, Therefore, turn back to me. The Lord is his memorial. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that we find in your word. And Father, I pray even tonight. There may be someone tonight that will be tempted when they get back home in the privacy of their own time, in the privacy of their own room. There might be someone that would be tempted to look at something they ought not look at, to watch something they ought not watch. Maybe someone tempted tonight, maybe a husband or wife would be tempted tonight to say something they ought not say. And Father, at those moments, I pray that you would prompt us to remember who you are. And I pray that that remembrance would provoke us to respond in a different way. God, please help us with that truth tonight. Father, help us as we go to prayer. I pray that you would hear us. I pray that you'd incline your ear toward us tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed, but I do encourage you, let's stay. Let's spend a little bit of time in prayer tonight, okay?